Hello, everyone. Welcome to our weekly study group. This is Corinne, and I've been looking forward to this all day. I'm so glad that we're here to join together to share these ideas with each other and thus strengthen them in our minds. So let's begin, as we usually do, with coming together to silence. And if you do have any background noise, you're welcome to mute your line either with the mute button on your phone, or you can always press *6. So turning attention within to a world that's more real than the outer world that we've become so accustomed to listening to. This inner world is a place where we're all joined, where there is only peace, and where only love is real. And this is our reality. To know it, to remember it, because it hasn't changed. We've just chosen to forget it. To remember this reality, all we need is our tiny bit of willingness. And our inner teacher, Holy Spirit, does the rest. So connecting with your sense of willingness within and offering this willingness to our inner teacher. Trusting and knowing that that shift will come to us the moment we're ready to receive it, because it's already been given. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we place this part of our own mind in charge tonight. So taking a nice mindful breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. So, we are reading the section in all the editions called The Happy Dream. It's chapter 18. It's called The Happy Dream. In the Sparkle edition, it's on page 434. In the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, it's chapter 18, part 6. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, that's chapter 18, part 5, The Happy Dream. I'm so excited about this reading. It's so good. It all is, of course. All right, so let's dive in. The Happy Dream. This is all about happiness. Prepare you now for the undoing of what never was. If you already understood the difference between truth and illusion, the atonement would have no meaning. The holy instant, your holy relationship, the Holy Spirit's teaching, and all the means by which salvation is accomplished would have no purpose. For they are all but aspects of the plan to change your dreams of fear to happy dreams, from which you waken easily to knowledge. Put yourself not in charge of this, for you cannot distinguish between advance and retreat. Some of your greatest advances you have judged as failures, and some of your deepest retreats you have evaluated as success. I'll pause there, even though I'm I want to keep going. This is just so delicious. So even the first sentence, prepare you now for the undoing of what never was. This has already been undone. There is only love. It's just simply a false idea that we still hang on to in the mind, this idea of separation that we just haven't let go of yet. And this, I guess I'll emphasize again, the last two sentences, the second to last sentence in particular, put yourself not in charge of this, for you cannot distinguish between advance and retreat. Some of your greatest advances you have judged as failures, and some of your deepest retreats you have evaluated as success. So there it is again. We can't judge. It's prompting us to not do the Holy Spirit's job for it, that this part, the Holy Spirit, which is part of our own mind, knows the way to help us remember the truth. The Holy Spirit is there to help us remember the undoing. I want to tie it into this first sentence. The Holy Spirit is what prompts the undoing of what never was. The Holy Spirit is in charge of that. So it's saying, put yourself not in charge of this, because like it just says, we don't know the difference. We cannot judge anything. We can't even judge whether we're doing a good job or a bad job, because we get in there with, you know, ego stuff and evaluate it. The Course does say, you know, the one thing that you can rely on is how do you feel? And even there, though, with feelings can be of the ego, too. So it's important that if we ever catch ourselves, I used to do this all the time, and I know I've shared this before, that thought, that thing that I used to say, I remember just crying to my stepdad, I'm failing the Course. And he'd be like, you're not failing the Course, you're doing the Course. So we don't know anything. And to just let the Holy Spirit be the one to decide, which is our right mind, it just takes a burden off to not think that, you know, we have to know or that we have to judge how it is that we're doing. So I love every single sentence in this paragraph, but I'm going to just pause there and see if anybody has anything they'd like to add. Any insights or questions or anything that stands out to you about this first paragraph?
Hello?
Hi, Igor?
Yes, it's Igor. Hello, Karine. Hello, everyone.
Welcome.
Beautiful paragraph. Totally agree with you. I wanted to say that it's all, as always, it's all about happiness, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about happiness, and what this paragraph said, put your, sentence five, put yourself not in charge of this, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
For you cannot distinguish between advance and retreat. And this is because we had our own plan on how to become happy, how to get happy. And we've been following this plan, and actually multiple plans we had, yeah, like get an Oscar, get a family, make $1 billion. So many, many, many plans we had, and they all failed. We've been following those idols in hope to get substitution for God's love from them, and they all failed, of course, because they are nothing but our own holograms, yeah, our own illusions. And so we as in chapter 29, I guess he says, it says, seek not outside yourself for, excuse me, I don't know the quote. So what I wanted to say in workbook lesson 186, there is in paragraph 5, it says, there is one way and only one to be released from the imprisonment your plan to prove the false is true has brought to you. Accept the plan you did not make instead. Yeah. So here it's all what it's all about. when we admit the fact that all of our plans on how to become happy failed, we are ready to ask the Holy Spirit and say, okay, we failed, please guide us, please show us the way. And as workbook lesson 71 says, only God's plan for salvation will work. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Igor, and thank God for that, that only God's plan for salvation will work, because if you know, it was left up to us, the Course says somewhere, you know, you would have just brought yourself into an absolute oblivion, like, you know, so thank God only God's plan for salvation will work, because it's already been done. So thank you. That was perfect. That was beautiful. Let's dive into the next paragraph. This is still going to be emphasizing, again, how little we're asked to do. Never approach the holy instant after you have tried to remove all fear and hatred from your mind. That is its function. Never attempt to overlook your guilt before you ask the Holy Spirit's help. That is his function. Your part is only to offer him a little willingness to let him remove all fear and hatred and to be forgiven. On your little faith, joined with his understanding, he will build your part in the atonement and make sure that you fulfill it easily. And with him, you will build a ladder planted in the solid rock of faith and rising even to heaven. Nor will you use it to ascend to heaven alone. How beautiful is that? So, like I mentioned, here it is saying again to let the Holy Spirit do its job, that there's nothing that we have to do, no way that we need to ready ourselves for the holy instant, no fear that we are appointed to undo before we ask the Holy Spirit. It's the holy instant. It says the function of the holy instant is to remove all fear and hatred from the mind. It's those instants where we just suspend everything. We just drop everything that we think that we know and just open up to the truth that is. The next sentence, never attempt to overlook your guilt before you ask the Holy Spirit's help. That's his function. Your part is only to offer him a little willingness to let him remove all fear and hatred. If you're reading in FIP, the emphasis that I'm making is because these words are all in caps. So that is his function. That is its function. Never attempt to overlook your guilt before you ask the Holy Spirit's help. So it's really emphasizing this, to let Spirit do its job, that we're asked to do very, very little and just having that little bit of willingness. I want to reread that. Now my eyes came to the next sentence. Your part is only to offer him a little willingness to let him remove all fear and hatred and to be forgiven. On your little faith joined with his understanding, he will build your part in the atonement and make sure that you fulfill it easily. Awesome. And I'll pause there to see, does anybody else have anything to add so far or any insights or questions? It's so simple. Like, the Course is saying the same thing over and over and over. Was that Meg?
Yes. What I was going to say is, hi. I was also reading, listening to what Ken Wapnick had to say about the happy dream, and It was really very insightful. Because I think what the Course emphasizes most of all is forgiveness. And fear and guilt, which keeps us from forgiveness. And I think that it's very interesting that he emphasizes the fact that there's the nightmare and also the happy dream. And first we go through the nightmare, and then we come to the happy dream, which has to do with forgiveness. But then he also says that it's the context of it all is, this is all an illusion. that the cosmos is an illusion, our individual selves is an illusion, our separation is an illusion, all of it is an illusion. And I think that emphasizing forgiveness is very important, because not only is there no one to forgive, because there isn't actually anyone, but also in one aspect, there's ourself to forgive. And ourself, I think, the forgiveness from ourself is believing in the separation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Beautiful. Thank you for adding that. The,
Corinne,
the
I'm all,
other...
This is Sue.
Oh, Sue? Yes, go on.
When they say no one is out there, that is meaning that no one but your brother is out there. No individual separate self is out there. Is that what that means?
There's nothing separate from you. Yeah, so that makes any, you know, part of the ego mind sort of spin, because of course there's a lot out there, you know, like there's bodies and plants and animals. This is speaking to something, you know, much deeper. Like Meg just said, that is all part of the dream. That's all part of what's there to keep us thinking that we're these separate selves. And so nothing out there, you know, it's all you. There's only one self. There's only one mind that is seemingly, you know, part of it is seemingly taking a snooze, so, and dreaming this crazy dream. So, yeah, so it's not speaking to, you know, the level of ego and form. It's speaking to something deeper than that.
Right. And
it's
interesting.
We
all individually take, we have all individually written a script. I was reading about that or listening to an audio about the script is written, and
mm-hmm.
then you change who the teacher is, and then this, and that's what changes it to the happy dream.
Right, right. Because, yes, the ego, the script, the ego wrote the script. And so if we're going to listen to the ego is going to take us down all sorts of convoluted, you know, pathways, and all of the witnesses that it's calling forth are justifying our choice for having listened to it, meaning it's all there to convince us that, yes, we are separate. When we start giving that script and we start giving everything, turning to the different teacher, to the Holy Spirit within, that's where, that's how, you know, when the Course talks about collapsing time, collapsing experience, there's things then, because we're now listening to Holy Spirit, and the purpose is to really not have us linger here in time. We don't necessarily then need to follow every single route that the ego script had planned out for us, and what we go through, we're going through with the Holy Spirit. So it's like the script then is being repurposed on behalf of helping us wake up rather than being there to keep us believing that we're separate.
Okay,
you know, Corinne, I also feel on a very practical level, because this is a very practical course, it's about confidence. You know, this paragraph really is about confidence, you know, being in the moment. And I have a situation coming up this week that my supervisor kind of gave me the lowdown on, that this thing's going to happen. And right away, you know, the ego goes into, writes a script of how it thinks it's going to play itself out. And, there's a lot of fear around that. And the holy instant is really the place to be in that situation. And that's, you know, because I don't know how that's going to play itself out. And when I think I do, it brings up all kinds of fear and anxiety. So I have kind of an idea of how I'd like it to see it turn out and what would make me happy. And just staying in the moment and working through it with the Holy Spirit just puts a whole different slant on it, you know?
Mm-hmm. And another word, Paula, that, you know, when you said it's all about confidence, that word that we always use is trust. So it's the same thing. It's all about confidence or trust in, you know, in really coming to know this part of our own mind, the Holy Spirit, that it's really there. This isn't just some fluff.
This is not some joke. It's not some, it's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely powerful, and it's just a wonderful way to get through your days and to live this life, you know, because you're not doing this alone.
Right, right. It's a much, 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 much kinder way to go through this seeming life.
and it's very practical.
It is very practical. I just wanted to also add before I forget, I don't remember who said what that made me think of this, but going back to just this idea about the happy dream is a stepping stone. So it's not the ultimate. It's not, you know, oh, I have the happy dream, now, you know, this is it. The happy dream, it says in the first paragraph that we just read, it's kind of in the middle of the paragraph, for they are all the aspects of the plan to change your dreams of fear to happy dreams from which you awaken easily to knowledge. So just like previously, it was like the focus on hell, the ego, was what we were familiar with and comfortable with, we had to slowly be willing to let that go and turn now to something that's more real than that. And we have this experience, this opening to the happy dream. It doesn't stop there. It's a stepping stone.
I think that's well said, because the happy dream is still part of the dream. It's still part of the illusion.
Exactly.
I wanted to share something. I went through hell. A friend of mine died, a very, very good friend of mine. And I was in grief, and I was in emptiness. The grief was very, it was hard for me, and I didn't really know what to do. And the day had gone by, and I started to read towards the end of the evening, sitting in all of this grief and almost just paralyzed with it. I picked up Psalm 63 and I started reading that. I don't know what prompted me to read that, but that's the psalm I usually read every day. And then I started reading about the universe is a dream. And it spoke about, you know, the illusion, that everything being an illusion, which is still not helpful when you're in grief. But when I went to sleep, I started having dreams, and the dreams I started having were all dreams of don't get caught up in your separation. Let go of your separation. And I would wake up, and I would write these little scripts down that were coming to me while I was sleeping. And what I found that it did is it made me focus on the Holy Spirit. Instead of focusing on the person that had passed, it made me focus on the Holy Spirit. And it also came to me that the person that had passed was just a manifestation of awareness, just a manifestation of myself. And an illusion also, which when you're crying, it's hard to be comforted with that because you're just caught up in the grips of it. And that's when I started thinking about the nightmare I was going through and then how I was being ministered to in my dreams. And I started feeling happier. I started feeling lighter because I started, like, focusing on the Supreme. Instead of focusing on the person that I had lost, I started focusing on the Supreme. And then when I woke up in the morning, I felt a lightness. My friend is still gone, but the lightness was there all of a sudden. And I equated that to how I had to go through hell and then finally get to happiness, knowing about the real truth of the illusion is that it's, we're just one. We're not several things. Because when you're thinking of your several things, you're relating on the individual level. You're relating on the level of the individual. And you, when you relate on the level of the individual, there are other individuals. And then there are relationships, and there are special relationships, and that can lead to agony and pain. And that coming to focus on the spirit led me to let go of that attachment. I was still, I was happy to have known that person, but the attachment had released me from the hell I was going through. And I was almost in happiness. And that's when I started thinking, oh, I hope I'm going to wake up now, because I've left hell, and now I've moved into happiness. And maybe I'll be waking up soon from this whole illusion. And that's all I wanted to share.
Oh, Meg, thank you so much for sharing. That's such a powerful story that we all get to benefit from in hearing you speak that. Because I know as you were, I'm actually hearing a lot of background noise. It's somebody, I think actually whoever just joined us, if you wouldn't mind muting your line, that would be awesome. I think that's Alishava. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you, honey. As I was listening to you, Meg, I was being brought into an experience of that shift that occurs, and you actually reminded me of a story that Nook Sanchez shares when her husband, partner of many years past, Tomas of cancer, she went into just such a state of grief. And I remember her sharing that at one point she heard that voice, because she was just like, why, like how, you know, how could this happen? How could he exit this way? And I'm pretty sure the question that came to her, that was given to her, was, do you want to know or do you want peace? Meaning that, do you want to know, like, do you want to intellectually figure it out and stay caught in that thinking ego mind, or do you want peace? Do you want to be lifted out of the battleground to have that experience of, you know, the higher self, of the self that we all share? And it sounds like it. And so listening to you share that story brought me into that place of feeling lifted. So I thank you so much for sharing it.
You're welcome.
That was really powerful. And we are all with you. We are all joined. And when you're healed, you're not healed alone. So thank you.
Thank you.
Let's read the next paragraph.
I wanted to
say
quickly.
Oh, Igor, hi.
Quickly, guys, Igor. About Sue, what Sue said in the very beginning. About is it a dream or not, and I just wanted to say that paragraph 5 talks about it, so it's quite interesting that you mentioned this topic. So in this section in paragraph 5 we'll read about this something.
Okay, oh, good. Awesome, thank you. Well, let's get there. So let's read the next paragraph. Through your holy relationship, reborn and blessed in every holy instant, which you do not arrange. Notice that, which you do not arrange. So we're not making this happen. It's coming forth through us. Through your holy relationship, reborn and blessed in every holy instant, which you do not arrange, thousands will rise to heaven with you. Can you plan for this? Could you prepare yourselves for such a function? Yet it is possible because God wills it. Nor will he change his mind about it. The means and purpose both belong to him. You have accepted one, the other will be provided. A purpose such as this, without the means, is inconceivable. He will provide the means to anyone who shares his purpose. So that moment that all of us, each one of us came to when we had that thought in whatever words, you know, there's got to be another way. There's like, come on, you know, help. However it was that we experienced that first moment in wanting something different, the means was given to us. He will provide the means to anyone who shares his purpose. That tiny willingness that we had, that moment we all shared, the means was given. And this paragraph just also makes me laugh, too, that where it's emphasizing again, can you plan for this? Could you prepare yourselves for such a function? Of course not. This is just kind of making us be able to laugh at the planning part of our mind that wants to, you know, do it for us. So, and that's the ego mind. I'm going to keep reading.
Colin, can you tell me this section really quick?
Is this, oh, hi, Lishava, yes. Which book do you have?
Thank you. I have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition.
So chapter 18, part
mm-hmm.
5, and I was just about to start reading paragraph number 4.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Here we go. Happy dreams come true, not because they are dreams, but only because they are happy, and so they must be loving. Their message is, thy will be done, and not, I want it otherwise. The alignment of means and purpose is an undertaking impossible for you to understand. You do not even realize you have accepted the Holy Spirit's purpose as your own, and you would merely bring unholy means to its accomplishment. The little faith it needed to change the purpose is all that is required to receive the means and use them. Again, here, it's emphasizing, we've chosen for Holy Spirit, the means has been given us, it's that tiny little faith that is all that we're asked to do, and the rest is done. I also want to emphasize the third sentence, happy dreams, the message is, thy will be done and not I want it otherwise. So we all know both of these sentences. We know both of these voices. The open, you know, thy will be done when we are releasing everything, not holding on, versus the I want it otherwise, I want it thus. That's, you know, you can hear the ego stomping its feet, like, you know, having a tantrum of how it wants things to be. So I'm going to pause there and see if anybody has anything else to add.
I think that goes back again to trust. You know, trusting
yeah.
thy will.
Right.
Trusting
and
that his will for us is happiness.
Yes, yes. And I think that many of us on this call have been, even those of us maybe who are newer, you know, it's not blind trust. We've come to trust because of the experiences that we've had. And that's one of the reasons why I always really like the Course, is that it's not saying, hear this and just believe it because I say so. It's saying, you know, no, try this and see what happens and then let that, you know, inform you, let that build your trust.
What also came to me when I see thy will be done, and as opposed to I want it, I want it, their happiness comes from I want it, but that happiness is temporal. It fades. It doesn't last. The thy will be done, that happiness is eternal, and it's everlasting.
Yeah. Yes, thank you, Meg, for adding that, because there is a difference in the happy. There's definitely a difference.
Well, the ego
Beautiful.
Really is the challenge in all of that, because, you know, that's that voice that says, no, wait a minute, I've got this figured out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always that temptation to listen to that. But really, the more you work with this material, the less you want to do that anyway.
Right, right. The more, you know, like how it says, the ego always speaks first and loudest. It's that we recognize it for what it is and just say, nope, you know, not listening to that. Not doing it. No, thank you.
I think, too, the more... Hi, everybody.
Hi,
Deirdre. Go ahead. Go ahead, Igor. I didn't know that you were talking, so go ahead.
It's okay. Please continue, Deirdre.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say that the more you work with this material, like Paula was saying, like, I've noticed that I don't act on things until I feel prompted to do so. So a lot of times, you know, like to the world, that might look like, you know, you're being lazy or you don't have a plan or you're just waiting around for stuff to happen. Like I know, like, sometimes, and it's been interesting, like people will say, like, well, why aren't you doing this, or why aren't you doing that, or shouldn't you do this, or whatever. And it's not that I don't do things, but I feel like there's sort of, you know, how that course talks about collapsing time and like a slowing down of time. I feel like, because on the level of spirit, there is no time, that if there is something that I need to do, I'll be prompted to do it. Mm-hmm. And that is very confronting for aspects of myself that are not affiliated with this work. And I just wanted to share that because I feel like a lot of you probably can relate to it. So.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Oh, I know I can. I know I can. It just makes me think in my, you know, my own experience, it's very much, how do I even just sum up what I'm trying to say? To me, it's just... really, really reemphasize what you're saying, allowing things, just being in such a place of trust that you can allow things to happen rather than trying to, you know, have to think that you have to chase after them or make them happen. It's just such a more gentler pathway. So thank you for sharing that, Deirdre. I very much relate.
Yeah.
And you do.
Igor, did you want to add? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sue, and then Igor.
You do get the feeling like if you're not doing something, that you're not, you're just taking up space, and you know, you're just you know, we learn that, you know, what are you just sitting around for, you know, you could do something, you know, you to, and I grew up with that feeling of you need to be doing. So if you're not doing something, and so I, yeah, it takes that feeling of I'm okay, I'm accepted, I'm worthwhile just to exist, just to be. And that takes some adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you. Igor, did you want to jump in?
I want to add that, Deirdre, thank you. You said you speak something that you feel guided to say, yeah? And two weeks back, when I was here and you said something to a woman who was sharing about the suicide that happened in their town, yeah? And it was very powerful, yeah, because you saw right through, you know, like... Because that woman was sharing about some some event, but actually what she was sharing is that she was using this event to empower her own guilt as a bad mother, yeah? And you saw it right through the the floor, and you So I read through and just said this to her, just you're a good mother, you did everything well, and don't use this event to blame yourself. I think it was very powerful, and thank you so much for such insights. Thank you. And also about this sentence 6 in this paragraph 4, the little faith is all that is required. And in chapter 11, what I recall is in chapter 11, section 6, it says, it is impossible not to believe what you see, but it is equally impossible to see what you do not believe. Yeah? And also in this section in the workbook, what is a miracle? It says, the miracle is taken first on faith. Because to ask for it implies that the mind has been made ready to conceive of what it cannot see and doesn't understand. Yet faith will bring its witnesses to show that what it rested on is really there. And thus the miracle will justify your faith in it and show you that it rested on a world more real than what you saw before. So yeah, I agree. It's hard, kind of hard to even think about forgiving those jerks. Instead of blaming them, right? But it will justify. It will show that it works, right?
Corinne, may I say something?
Absolutely, please.
So I was hiding and trying not to share, but as I'm hearing everybody, and part of the reason is I just feel like everybody seems, and I've shared about this before, that so connected and so much more advanced in their process and in the connection that they have with the Holy Spirit in terms of guidance and trust. And I find myself in a place of going back and forth. I believe it's maybe that I haven't surrendered completely or something, but I find myself, you know, maybe having a little bit of reprieve, but then the depression or anxiety comes in and there's so many outwardly things that can get my attention, whether it be, you know, family members that are not doing well physically or a brother that keeps, you know, another family member that keeps going out of addiction and you know, or just all these things that are getting my attention and focus, and I'm really being drawn into the illusion of all of that, and yet it feels so absolutely real to me. And, you know, somebody that just spoke about their friend dying and the grief, and I read this stuff, and it's like, the information has given me solace before. I've heard something and there's sort of like this, oh, it's going to be okay. But I find myself constantly going back to this baseline of depression or anxiety. And I'm sort of like thinking, when am I going to, and I guess I'm not specifically asking, I'm just asking for people to share their experiences so that maybe I can get some hope, because I don't feel like I hear the Holy Spirit's guidance. I am in a position where I'm, you know, as a career, I help other people, and people will come back, or clients will come back and say, you know, you helped me so much, or thank you so much. And I wonder and I think, how the hell am I helping people when I can't even help myself? Like, you guys talked about trust, and I doubt myself all the time. The self-esteem is so low in so many areas, and I know that's not what we're shooting for, because we're trying to get away from self, or at least the small self. But I guess I just want to hear about those times when you guys struggled and then had, what did you do to make the transition? How do I, what? I guess I'm just looking for some hope.
What voice are you listening to? What voice are you listening to?
I'm trying to listen to the voice for God, but it's so hard because...
Well, God would not be saying you're not doing well. God would be saying you're fabulous. You're innocent, you're fabulous, you're doing just fine, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. love doesn't make comparisons, so why would you compare yourself?
Oh, Mary, you're doing a wonderful, wonderful job, and I would like to just express that, oh my gosh, I want to share so many things. So many of us on this call have felt that darkness, the depth of depression, the depth of anxiety, and it's screaming, screeching loud. It's almost blinding that, you know, it gets that intense. And you can hear Holy Spirit. One of the things that John Mark Stroud said on one of the Miracle Share conferences, which just cracked me up, was that we don't have a listening problem because we listen to the ego quite well. we know how to listen. You know, it's just this loud voice that we've gotten really, really, you know, good at listening to. We actually have a choosing problem. So it's not that we can't hear. It's that the problem just lies in the choice of which one it is that we are choosing to listen to, wanting to listen to, if I can say that, and I can explain that a little bit more. But can we do an exercise together, all of us, right now? This is from John Mark Stroud.
Yes.
He did this in the, I don't remember now if it was the second or the first or the second Miracle Share conference. I think it was the first one. We're going to practice listening to Holy Spirit right now. So I invite all of us to get comfy and just take some deep breaths. And reminding ourselves that we know how to listen. We're good listeners. Just taking a couple deep breaths to settle in. We're going to turn our attention within and sensing your whole body. Often, as core students, we make the mistake of just saying, oh, the body's nothing, you know, don't pay attention to it. But guess what? We very much feel like we're in it right now. And so we're going to direct our attention. We're going to ask Holy Spirit to direct our attention to the place in the body where we most easily connect with Holy Spirit, where we feel Holy Spirit, where we feel that voice of love. So let's ask this question together. We're going to practice this a couple times. Holy Spirit, I'm willing to let you direct my attention to a place in my body where I can most easily feel you. And just see where your attention goes. As you sense your body, as you really become embodied, getting in your own body. And asking this question again. Holy Spirit, direct my attention to the place in my body where I can most easily feel you, hear you, sense you. And just seeing where awareness settles, where in the body. Asking one more time, Holy Spirit, direct my awareness to the place in my own body where I can most easily feel you. We don't listen to the Holy Spirit with our ears. We sense, we feel that connection within. It's beneath the chatter. It's beneath the white noise. And it's always there, always. take a nice deep breath in and out. Oh, Mira, can you tell me about what you noticed? If you'd be willing. You don't have to if you don't want to.
Yeah. I try to really just feel my body, and I wasn't really led or directed to specific. I mean, my mind wanted to say my heart, so I kept trying, and then I remembered I'm being directed, so I stopped trying, and then I just focused on my breath, and here's the doubt. I don't know, Corinne. I don't know.
That's okay.
Yeah, I don't
we
know.
We did this in like 3 minutes. And I'm going to get you, Amira, I'm assuming I have your email address somewhere, but would you email me after the call?
Sure.
You can email me at, it's C-O, do you have a pen?
Yeah, give me 1 second. Let me grab a pen.
Okay. I want you to email me because I want to send his talk to you. Because it's all about listening to the Holy Spirit. If we notice, just, you know, when you notice any thought that comes up of, oh, you know, I can't hear, we've all been there. Every single one of us has been there. And if you can just take a breath and just be willing to release that thought, just be willing to give that thought over to Holy Spirit, because all that thought is just the ego part of the mind not wanting you to listen. It doesn't, you know, it's that part of the mind that is really comfortable being a separate self that would rather you not drop into that place, you know, in your body. Not that that voice is real in any way, shape, or form. It's something that we get better and better at disregarding. But I want to send his talk to you. So my email address is Corinne. And anybody else, if you want this, just email me also, Corinne. So my first name, Corinne, Corinne, at fromanxietytolove.com. And I'll send you his Miracle Share talk.
I have a trick that always works for me. Thank you, Corinne. I have a trick that always works for me because, yeah, I think it might be confusing to, you know, to figure out the part of the body, but I have a trick that I ask a question that the Holy Spirit always says yes to. And I just ask this question, and you can try it too right now and listen to wherever the answer will come. The question is very simple. Holy Spirit, please tell me, is everything going to be okay?
Oh, God, that's wonderful. And anything that you hear that would be of a negative nature is not coming from the voice for God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I gotta
God's
wait
will
now.
For me
what
is perfect
just,
happiness.
Wait. Let me get a pen. I like that.
I agree with you, Paula. Lesson 101 says, God's will for me is perfect happiness. So whatever you feel that is not happiness is not coming from God. And I said it is a question, simple question, Paula.
Say it again.
Holy Spirit, please tell me, is everything going to be okay? I have another question.
Hey, not is
I have
going
another,
to, is everything okay, too?
I have another question, which is even more funny. Like I ask this, Holy Spirit, please tell me, all of these problems that I think I have now, are they serious?
I love that.
I immediately started.
Oh, I love it. Because that's exactly what occurred to me. What's the line, Corinne, when the Son of God forgot to laugh? You know, we take all this crap so seriously.
Yeah, but just like Meg said earlier, when you're in grief, when you're in pain, to hear, oh, it's just an illusion, guess what?
No.
Not helpful.
No.
Not helpful at all. We have to be where we're at, and that means owning our feelings, being honest with them, and still having that tiny bit of willingness to see them, to see it differently. So
yeah.
We can't intellectually skip over our lessons. We go through them, but we go through them. And even if we feel like we can't feel Holy Spirit, we can say that one, the quickest prayer that there is, help. We can still turn, you know, to that part of our mind, and saying, like, I'm willing.
Mara, can I share one with you that helps me?
Sure. Go ahead.
If I am having difficulty letting go of something and releasing it to the Holy Spirit, I say to myself, is this something I want to fix? Do I want to control? Is there something about this that I want to fix? I want to control. I want to make better. And if it is, I realize that it's me holding on to it, because the mind will only hold on to something in order to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It says, I've got to fix this thing. So it has to hold on to it so it won't let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, is this something I feel like I need to fix? I need to control? And if I get that feeling of, yeah, it is something, oh, okay. I don't. And then I just, for some reason, that just lifts me, and I realize I am still holding on to that, grasping on to it, some kind of egoic step to not let go of it, that it's still my problem. So I ask that, and when I ask that, it just magic, and then I can release it.
Thank you.
Something, this is Deidre again. I'll be really quick. Something that really helped me, because I resonated a lot when you were talking about self-doubt and things like that coming up.
Yes.
So something that has really helped me is, because you learn, as you're working with the course, you learn to sort of become an observer of what's seems to be going on, and when I observe myself having those types of thoughts where the mind really wants to go to that doubtful place, or even that place that feels like an emotional upset, the mind that's not the spirit of you will immediately try to go to the place of judging that emotional upset as wrong, or placing some kind of judgment on what it should be other than what it is, right? So when I catch myself in that place, the course has just really helped me to put in perspective that whatever the doubtful thought is, or the emotional upset, or the reaction to something might be coming up in the picture, that is actually not me. That's not the truth of me. Whatever that is, that thought, that doubt, that, you know, if I find myself feeling upset or frustrated or any kind of emotional response, that response is not me. So then what happens when I allow myself that place is then I'm able to allow myself to have whatever that experience is without judging it. Because when I know it's not me, I can just allow it to be present. And then I'm not making it bad or wrong anymore and continuing to judge it further. Then I can just allow it to be expressed, allow it to come up, and give it up. And
something about what you're saying is so resonating, because there is that, there is that resistance. There's that not wanting that to be happening. Why is this happening?
Right.
Why am I feeling this way?
Can I jump in
just for 1 second?
Can we let let's let Deidre finish and then you can share. Thank you so much.
So it's just I've found it really helpful that compassion with whatever is coming up, because that's what love does, is has that compassion instead of trying to change, sort of like what Paula is saying, Sue was saying about wanting to fix or change something. It's just that gentle presence of being present with whatever comes up and being okay with that. That's always that loving space. So you're perfect exactly the way you are. You're perfect.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for your share.
I'm so glad, Deidre, that you – I'm just going to just say something, and then Meg, I'll turn it over to you. But I'm really, really glad that you brought that up, Deidre, and that is also in line with, you know, a mindfulness-based approach, which is allowing ourselves to feel exactly what we're feeling and you know, being okay with that. And that's also in line with the course, that this isn't a course in suppressing your feelings or only having, you know, happy feelings. It's about the happy learner does not feel guilty about learning. So whatever it is that's coming up, giving ourselves that space to let it be. So thank you, Deidre, for sharing that. That was beautiful.
You're welcome.
Meg.
Mine will just be really, really quick. I just had one question. Have you done any of the lessons?
Yes. I am stuck on lesson 164. I think I've been on that lesson for a while now. But yes, I've been doing the lessons.
Then my suggestion is this, and I say this a lot, go to the table of contents on the lessons and read them down, each one, until you get to the one that you're on. Read them down and read them with the understanding of what the lesson gave. You don't have to read the whole lesson. Just read the title of each lesson as you go down, and it will bring back to you each lesson that you did, and that will be very, very helpful.
Thank you. I will do that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Just a table of contents.
Table of contents, the lessons, and just go to the lesson. Just go down to the lesson that you're on. Don't go past that lesson, and just read the table of contents.
Thank you. I will.
Beautiful.
You're welcome.
I have my arms wide open, and I'm giving all of you a really big hug. Thank you so much for being here, for holding loving space for each other, and I love you all, and I will see you all next week.
Thank you, family.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
God bless you.
Bye.
Hi, Carla.
Thank
bye,
you.
Carla.
Thank
hey.
You. Hey, Carla.
Hey.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.